Rob Zappel is running for re-election to the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners. Rob, we just got through Hurricane Florence. How would you rate how the county performed in terms of emergency services and things like that?
Well, of course, the recovery effort and the rebuilding effort is continuing as we speak. But as far as preparedness goes, I would give us definitely an A grade on that. Starting with our county manager and our emergency operator, emergency operations center director, Stephen Still, did a wonderful job of bringing together well over 100 different department agencies, different counties, everything from emergency services in the way of sheriffs and the ambulance drivers and hospital to the Board of Education, every possible Department of Social Services, every possible agency that could be involved with our planning and inspections department to bring together into one room so we had one focal point to direct questions and by which we could get services out to our entire community. That planning had started actually months ago and then came to fruition about 5 days before when they first started to gather when we saw the hurricane was coming and then continued all the way through the hurricane and for up to 2 weeks. 2 weeks plus afterwards. It was a huge help. And indeed, we discovered some gaps that were there. But on balance, the ability for us to react in a timely manner to what was happening to Hurricane Florence was terrific. I was very proud of every one of our county employees, 1,400 of which jumped in doing 12-hour shifts, sometimes 14-hour shifts, going home, getting rest, and coming right back on again. It was a truly team effort that paid off.
Okay, let's look at a bigger picture here. On your website, you stated so many people, Democrats and Republicans, are deeply troubled by the agenda and policies of the majority in Raleigh, the Republican majority. Mm-hmm. It goes on to say, but what's happening at the state level will affect what happens in New Hanover County. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, what's happening in Raleigh doesn't stay in Raleigh. Talk a little bit about what you mean by that and how these decisions coming out of Raleigh are having a direct impact on those of us that live in New Hanover County.
Well, let's jump right to it, Vince. Let's talk about our water. It is outrageous that I cannot, or anyone in New Hanover County, can't turn on their tap and be able to have clean, healthy drinking water, or at least you have to stop and think about it. We're not sure of it when we drink it, when we bathe in it, when we wash in it, do anything with it. And this has gone on now for a year and a half. And what's happening up in Raleigh is absolutely connected to this political football that it's become, whether it's funding different studies, the never-ending studies, or diverting money away from the DEQ, our enforcement agency. I am sick, and so are a lot of people, of the politics that this is, has kind of seized this. Because down here, I'm still having to buy bottled water. And so a lot of other people here in our community, too, to make sure that the information that we don't have about our health and the safety of our drinking water, that we have some kind of guarantees by going to bottled water. And believe me, I know that is no panacea. We're not even sure what's in the bottled water. But it's just infuriating from an elected official standpoint that we have not had more direct action happening with trying to find a way to clean up our water. And whether that means, as we now see the CFPUA finally getting to the point of installing the GAC, the granulated activated carbon filters, I wish they would speed that up. Frankly, I wish that work had begun 6 months ago. I am at short patience along with everyone else as to why this is taking so long. Let's get the fix in place and let the lawyers and the politicians up in Raleigh hash it out at their own time. But let's talk about the health and the safety of every resident in New Hanover County. That's where my focus is.
So on the case of the water, the commissioners, you're saying the commissioners have really done all that can be done at the Board of Commissioners level.
I think technically at the Board of Commissioners level, but in my sense, using the bully pulpit, using the pressure that we can bring forward here in New Hanover County with the Board of Commissioners to keep the, again, our legislators in Raleigh and also the CFPUA to make it clear that this is an urgent situation that we need the fix now. And if we have to talk funding, let's talk funding. But let's get the physical fix in place, then hash out the rest. We will find a way to hold Chemours accountable for this, so that the ratepayers of CFPUA are not stuck with the, saddled with the financial burden of having to fix their own water, that that we've been paying for all along, that we know is contaminated, but to what level? We're not even sure of that.
Managed continued growth. Everyone talks about managing growth, being sustainable, responsible development. But at the end of the day, don't the commissioners sign off on almost every business, large and small, that wants to move into the county because of the dollar signs?
I think that's a generalization, and I understand how some people may feel that. But if you look carefully at the voting pattern that happens at the commission level, and certainly on our zonings and rezonings, and when you say, you know, bringing businesses in, it usually doesn't. We're not in a position of saying who can and who can't do business in New Hanover County. It usually boils down to some sort of land use or zoning issue where we are able to weigh in. I think you'll see on certainly things that affect traffic. Again, we have no control over the roads, but I know that I've been very vocal and very strong in my stand about those issues where we don't have, where we're adding tremendous amounts of traffic, you know, from development onto especially two-lane roads. My voting pattern has been straight. I cannot support that until we have the infrastructure in place to handle that. Putting 425 new homes over there off of Gordon Road, with the recommendation of denial from our own planning department, from our own planning board, that does not fit into our comprehensive plan. This is the project I'm referring to, is the landing at Lewis Plantation that was approved by the majority of the commissioners a year and a half ago, I guess. I just could not support it. A similar thing happened over on Piner Road down around Monkey Junction, where we again had a two-lane road and where we were bringing in another group of 80 apartments that were coming proposed for that area there. That portion of Piner Road, which has three schools within a quarter-mile distance, and at the drop-off period and the pickup period in the afternoon, is essentially a parking lot. The ability for emergency services to get in and out is impossible. We have people over there in those hours I just told you about that are trying to get around traffic, and it has deep ditches, people pulling into the ditches, people cursing at each other, yelling at it. And this is a regular situation there. So the thought of adding more traffic onto there, into that stretch of road, I simply could not support it.
A lot of this ties into quality of life.
Correct.
And I know that's very important to you, but I'm wondering, as we talk about some of these issues, such as the water, and issues that the state seems to control, how difficult is to protect the quality of life here when various aspects of that are in the hands of people who do their voting in Raleigh?
Vince, I think of it as a local issue. Again, I have little control over to what happens in Raleigh, although I know some of their policies flow down here, and it's frustrating. But what I can do is put my hands on things that we do have control here locally, and that's, again, the zonings and rezonings and also forward thinking. Quality of life would include the development that is happening currently up in the northern part of our county, trying to be careful about it and manage it. During this past hurricane, we saw a number of issues come to the top, certainly flooding, taking a harder look at what we formerly called the 100 and 500 year flood maps of where there was potential for flooding. Well, we've now had three 500-year storms in the past 19 years, when you go back to Floyd and all the way up here to Florence, including Matthew, 2 years ago. It is clear the storms and hurricanes that we're experiencing are bigger, They're larger and they're way more wetter, if that is the correct term. They contain a lot more water than anything we've been seeing in the past. So we need to take a look at those low-lying areas there. Areas that had never experienced flooding before are now seeing it as a regular, persistent flooding. And we need to adopt and adapt our policies, our development policies, to recognize that. We need to build up higher. We need to possibly move back further out of those. We need to take a look at policies so that, say, the first 4 feet of your first floor is you use waterproof materials or water-resistant materials like tile, et cetera, things that will not be destroyed if you have the flooding of the first 2 feet, which is where we saw a lot of happening in this past hurricane, using different types of insulation, closed cell foam insulation that goes in, or solid foam insulation there.
Which doesn't get destroyed.
Correct.
When the water comes
all
in.
All okay. these. And instead of using a composite board, baseboards, we use either solid wood or tile in those areas. The flooring, tile, something that can be cleaned, et cetera, so that we don't see this kind of devastation and having people to have to rip half their houses out and put them on the side of the road like we're seeing up in North Chase area there and in some of these apartment buildings. So that's the kind of quality of life that I'm talking about that we can fit into our development as we move forward. Also taking a larger and closer look at the hazardous mitigation zones, hazard mitigation zones along the shore, to make sure that those are appropriately designated so that when people build there that they follow a certain set of rules for wind and flood that will help protect them and help protect the people behind them and help protect our entire county so we don't see massive destruction. I think we've done a pretty good job of that already, but again, Florence kind of rewrote the book on that, and we need to pay better attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I mean, while you've brought up quality of life, I'd like to turn this a little bit, because I think it's all tied in together, is education, a focus on education, and with a specific focus on our pre-K, pre-kindergarten funding that the county can do and has done and will continue to do to increase that so that every child going into first grade has the opportunity of that pre-K experience to bring them up to a level so that by the third grade, when they get to the all-important reading test of third grade, that frankly will determine their future success in the educational career and will set them up for a career and a successful life, that they have every opportunity to make it through to that third grade reading test scores and be successful. Because I believe the education is the foundation of economic development, mm-hmm. because with an educated workforce, that is what is going to draw to New Hanover County the entrepreneurs, the businesses that will be the foundation of the future. But you got to have that educated workforce, that skilled workforce, and it starts, in my mind, with pre-K.
As you look toward what would be your second term on the board,
mm-hmm.
what are some of the other priorities, the other things that are at the top of your list that really need to be addressed?
Well, I think we've touched on some of these. The development, which I know is at the forefront of so many people's minds because it's tied to land use and traffic. I know that we are, this entire commission, myself, very strongly supporting it, the preservation of open space and green space. We live in the second smallest county in the state of North Carolina, 199 square miles. That's it. We got the Atlantic Ocean on the east side and the Cape Fear River on the west side and the Northeast Cape Fear on the north side. We're not getting any bigger. In geological terms, we're actually getting smaller as we have natural erosion happening. So we've got to be very careful and intentional about our development and how we move forward and to make sure that we can grab those parcels that we currently own as a county and or as a city and do the best we can to preserve them. So that certainly, again, goes right to our quality of life. Also, our beach communities, making sure that we continue with the maintenance or the coastal storm damage reduction programs. Some people know it as beach renourishment. That's kind of one of the unsung great successes our community had in this past storm. The fact that we have invested over the past 50 years along Wrightsville Beach, Carolina Beach, and Curie Beach to make our beaches wider and broader, thicker, and our dune lines stronger. That is what caught the energy of Florence as it came in off the ocean and was able to dissipate it and absorbed a tremendous amount of that energy. And yet we did not see major damages in, you know, Wrightsville and Curie and Carolina Beach to properties, to businesses, and frankly, to lives. Mm-hmm. That's all a credit for those millions of dollars that we have gotten from our room occupancy tax that we match up with federal funds and state funds to make sure those beaches are kept solid. And that's a real success story. And think of it as an insurance plan that just paid off, because without those beaches there to absorb that energy, we were looking $100+ million in damages.
Yeah. What about another thing that has been on the minds of many this past year or two has been the opioid addiction challenge that many people refer to the greater Wilmington area as ground zero for this because of the percentage of people that are addicted to opioids. And there are a lot of programs have been announced, you know, on the local and state level. Mm-hmm. Have we seen yet any impact from this?
I'm sure we have. Just in the same way, it took years for it to take root here. Reversing the trend is going to take years to get it out. The opioids and prescription drugs are a miserable scourge to our entire community and has devastating effects throughout, starting with the person, the family, those people who are close to that person who's affected, and is the person's coworkers, the business they do, lost time in that it causes. It just spreads out, ripples throughout our entire community. So a full court press on stopping this and reversing it is on the forefront, I know, of all of our commissioners, myself as well, and certainly everyone in our medical community, and frankly, the most of the population of New Hanover County. We now get it. So there are a number of programs that have come forward. One on the most basic level is getting prescription drugs and opioids out of your medicine cabinet. So medicine drop-off points, which we now have at the Sheriff's Department, at the hospital, the CVS on the corner of Oleander and South College. You can go in there and they have a special box. You can take all those unused drugs out of your house, put them in a paper bag. They don't care how you receive them, and drop them off there and they'll be disposed of. There's actually a new technique that we have just recently brought on board from one of the commissioner meetings that I go to at the national level. An idea came forward, and I brought it back here to our Department of Health. It's called drug pouches, drug disposal pouches. And these are little pouches that they can purchase, and the Department of Health has now bought 2,000 of them to distribute within our community, so you can take those prescription drugs out of your medicine cabinet, dump them into that, add water, put the flap down, shake them, and it makes those drugs inert. And even better, you can now pitch it into the trash can. It has no ill effect into our landfill. This, I believe, is one more tool in the toolbox that will be very effective to to enlist the people of New Hanover County to help get rid of that supply and dispose of it properly. But on a more specific level, for those people who need help, I know I was I worked very hard with Trillium, our mental health, behavioral health provider here in New Hanover County, to get a 100-bed drug treatment facility placed here in New Hanover County. And we will indeed break ground for that by the end of this year. And that'll be on. It's a male-only facility. And on the female side, we have a program that the commissioners funded called TIDES, T-I-D-E-S, run by Dr. Johnston. It's an evidence-based with outcomes that are monitored that is geared specifically for pregnant women who have substance abuse issues. Mm-hmm. There'll be 47 beds or apartments where they're allowed to also work with the children and the family, as well as the woman who's in need of help. These are two small steps. I know in our judicial system, we now have a drug court where issues can be brought forward of those who are accused of drug offenses, so we can help divert those people from prison that need help, not those that have committed felonies, but those that need help and will not receive the help that they need in our jails, et cetera. So that diversion program has been effective. But again, these are all small steps that we're taking to reverse this trend.
Rob Zappel is on the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners, and he is running for re-election. Rob, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Vince.
Rob Zappel is a member of the Board of Directors, Friends of Public Radio, WHQR.